In Nashville, night two, and we are live out here at the Inglewood Wingstop at 3300 Gallatin Pike. The first 100 people that come and hang out with us tonight will get a coupon for 5 free boneless wings for their next visit. The Dallas Cowboys just selected tight end Luke Schoonmaker, which is quite the name. Draft Night in Nashville is brought to you by the Nashville Sheriff. The Davidson County Sheriff's Office is hiring correctional officers. Call 615-862-8170. Also brought to you by D&M Development, featuring the new Cumberland with views of downtown and the Cumberland River. Yep. TheNewCumberland.com. The biggest move of the night.
What?
The Titans trading up to 33 to take Will Levis. Now, with all of the Will Levis hype all leading up to the draft, the taco, could he go number one overall? Could he go number two overall? With all of the draft gurus and the evaluators calling Will Levis a top three, top five, top 10 pick in this year's draft, with ESPN stats and information giving Will Levis a 0.01% chance of being available at 32, and the Titans take him at 33. I think he could potentially be the steal of this year's draft. But with now Will Levis in the mix, what does this mean for the Titans' future?
I think they believe that they have their quarterback of the future. Now what they're going to start to do, I think, you know, the remainder of the draft, possibly even into camp once cuts are made, but definitely into next season, they're going to start to build this team around Will Levis. They have to. They're telling everybody, this is our future. If everything works out the way they anticipated working out, then now you build your organization around the quarterback. So what does that mean? Guys like Derrick Henry may not be here next year. I'm not talking this year. Next year, older guys that have been here for a while, they may be ushered out after this upcoming season. Because now what they're doing, they're going to surround this offense around Will Levis and his skill set. They will still try to run the football, but as he matures as a quarterback, they will, I think eventually, they will become more of what the NFL is, a passing league.
Yeah, I just wonder if he's the guy. I mean, is he really the guy? All the hype that came
They better
in,
hope he's the
that's
guy.
That's what I'm saying, because if it's not, I mean, it's going to be a lot of mad folk. And just like what you said on the chat line, a lot of people are upset. Why are they upset? Are they upset because he played in the SEC? And played against the university, are they upset because he's not that quarterback that they should have got at that point? Because everybody talks about how big a stature he is and all the, you know, the tools. I want to see how he reacts in pressure situations. You can in 7-on-7 and throwing the ball on air, that's great. I mean, me and you can do that. But I want to see how he handles the pressure of being an NFL quarterback. That's what's going to be the telling point of what he's going to do in this league.
You know what's so crazy? Sort of like, and I always refer back to Matt Leinart, because Matt Leinart, the history of Matt Leinart, meaning his last two seasons at SC, he was a Heisman Trophy winner. Had he come out the year I believe he won the Heisman, he
would have
many
been
predicted him as either the number one pick or top five pick.
Yeah.
He ends up coming back the next season, his season is not as great. He's still a first rounder, but he slips down in the draft. His career ends up being a career which amounts to a backup. He did start some games, but ultimately, what was he? A backup, because people learned more about him. Had Will Levis come out last year, Will Levis would have been drafted in the first round because he would have been a top quarterback in last year's draft. He had 1 year, which he did really well. Scouts would have went off that 1 year. They would have had their questions, like, he only played 1 year in this offense. Would it work?
So did Anthony Richardson,
exactly.
Though.
But I still believe they would have drafted him in the first round. But they saw another season of him, and they started to think, is he really the quarterback that we thought he was after his junior year or his senior year or whatever the hell it was, because he spent like 8 years in college.
You know, D-Max, let me ask you this. Do you think he'll be day one, first game of the season, you think he's a starter? And you jumbled in there too.
Yeah.
I believe, if he shows growth and progress he will be the starter day one.
Ooh.
If it's close, if it's anywhere close to whether it's Ryan or Levis, I think they go with Levis.
Ooh. Why?
Because they want to. They because to me, why wait? If you feel he's ready to go, then why wait? Put him out there. Let see what he can do. Allow him to grow because you're going to lean on Derrick Henry anyway.
Yeah.
You're not going to put him in a situation where he's throwing the football 35 times. If Will Levis is the quarterback, you're turning around, giving it to Derrick Henry. You're building up the offensive line. He may throw the football 22 times a game, and that's good for him.
Well, and even with the situation where with the offensive line, do you think that Will Levis can be successful with what we see on paper right now with this offensive line? Do you think he can thrive? Because if you look at the offensive line, you got Dillard, you got Brunskill, you got Brewer. I don't know what's going on with Raiders and Petit Ferrer.
You got Skoronski, too.
Skoronski.
Hey, you got to throw Skoronski in there. He's in there. He's the starter.
He's the starter.
He was the 11th overall pick.
Exactly. Can't forget about him.
Cannot forget about Skoronski.
But with that offensive line, if he starts to struggle, do you blame it on Levis or do you blame it on offensive line?
You know who they're going to blame it on. You know who the fans are going to blame it on. And I know that it doesn't matter what the fans think, right. But it's going to be Will Levis. And I think that day one, I think that Ryan Tannehill will be the starter for this reason.
And he could be.
We have no idea.
Yeah. I'm not saying he won't be.
Yeah.
I don't think they can afford to ruin Will Levis. Because that's Mike Vrabel's job. I know that Will Levis was not a first-round quarterback. And I know they didn't trade up to get him. And with those odds, or you know, with those stakes and with the investment that you have in those kind of quarterbacks.
Is he happy?
He looked just cool.
DJ Turner looked pissed.
Yeah.
But I know that with the stakes and the investment of a quarterback that you take in the first round or trade up to get, that it makes it a little bit more obvious that, coach is in the hot seat now. Oh, now the coach, all eyes on that coach. But they're still drafting Will Levis to be their quarterback of the future no matter where they take him. Okay. Number one overall or 33 overall. Yeah. So this is Mike Vrabel's job. This is the future of the franchise. They cannot afford to screw him up or to screw this up. So for that reason alone, I say give him a year. Give this team one more year to add more pass catchers, to continue to build up the offensive line, to give him a year. I know he's been running this system for the past 2 years at Kentucky. Give him even more time. Because what's going to hurt him sitting?
Oh, nothing. I mean, it's not going to hurt him sitting at all.
What could have hurt him starting?
I mean, obviously, it could be a lot.
Obviously, physically hurt. Yeah.
But I just look at this. I look at this situation from this standpoint. One, this team is going to once again lean heavy on Derrick Henry to run the football. Mm-hmm. And I always go back to if Charles London and Tim Kelly is able to, fast track. Not to say that they're going to try to oppress it.
Right.
But if he shows that he's picking up everything the way that you expect him to pick it up or even better than what you expect him to pick it up, then he gets out there in the practice field during camp and he's reading, not just picking up the offense, but he's reading defenses better than what you thought he may be able to. Then you get him in a preseason game and you start to see these flashes.
Yeah.
I think then they're going to have to make a decision. Do we go with the young kid right now and say, this is the direction we're going, and we're going to lean on Derrick Henry as we have the last couple of years. Either we do that and let Ryan Tannehill go, meaning trade him, or we sort of taper it down a little bit and say, Ryan, you're the starter. But the problem you're going to run into is this. If Ryan plays a bad game,
that's it.
Not only are the people going to be asking why isn't Levis playing, the owner is going to be like, well, what I've seen from Levis, he's ready to play, so why isn't he playing?
You told me he was our quarterback.
Exactly.
In the future.
Why isn't he playing? He looks like he's ready from what I've seen.
And that's another tough part about it, too, is you're going to need the time to see Will Levis get into camp, to see he and Ryan kind of battle it out in camp. I mean, that's not a decision that you make hastily or very easily or anytime soon. So then your days are getting numbered of who your trading options are with Ryan Tannehill. Because maybe in training camp, knock on wood, there's a quarterback around the league that tears his ACL in training camp. And now that team is sunk and they're searching for a quarterback. They're frantically looking for the guy of the future. And then that's, boom, a perfect trading partner if you think that Will Levis is ready day one.
You know who I'm really sad about, and I know this is kind of off the subject, is Malik Willis. I really feel sad for him.
Yeah.
And the reason,
it's the life of the NFL, you know it, and it's not a good one.
I just think that he got thrown into a tough situation. Yeah. You got an offensive line, you got receivers that are hurting out of the lineup, so he doesn't have a chance to develop. Because you better believe when Levis comes in, the attention is going to be on him. Are they going to give that same attention to Malik Willis as he's going to give it to Will Levis to let both of them develop, or is all the attention going to be on Will Levis because he's going to be the future? So
you know the answer to that.
I think they're gonna let Malik Willis go, and I don't think it's fair. But just like D said, it's you know, the NFL stands for not for long.
Yeah.
So you know, if you don't perform out the gate, then they're gonna get you out of here. And I think with Malik Willis, you know, I know Jared says he's a terrible quarterback and he's awful, which he needs to improve. But at
Jared says a lot of things.
But at the end of the day, you make some great points that when you come in as a quarterback, let him sit and let him learn and learn from the veteran guy. But he didn't have a chance. He came in, and he was automatically the second guy. So how is he going to learn when he's thrown into the fire with a bad offensive line and some receivers that are not reliable?
Well, not for long.
You're out of here.
What other acronym you can
– Adios,
you know.
Amigos.
No, not fair league.
Yeah.
You can call it what you want to call it.
No fun league.
Exactly. But, I mean – you're right. You know, whether be it right or be it wrong, be it fair, be it not fair, Malik Willis got thrown in too quick. He never should have seen an NFL field, meaning he should have never been had to have started games in the regular season.
Yeah.
He wasn't ready. He shouldn't have been out there. That team wasn't ready to have him as their quarterback. Because that team wasn't ready to compete after everyone started to get injured.
Yes,
that wasn't a good team. And then on top of that, you throw in a rookie quarterback that's just not ready. Of course it's going to look bad. And it looked really bad. So much so now the Titans are questioning whether, you know, there's going to be a spot for him or not. Again, I go back to he was the guy of – he was the guy of the guy that left. They got fired, I believe.
Yeah.
That was his guy. I don't think it was necessarily the guy, you know, a Vrabel guy or anybody else's guy.
I think we've heard a lot of rumors that Malik Willis was John Robinson's guy. Desmond Ritter was Mike Vrabel's guy. So, of course, you know, John Robinson no longer in the building.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how much, I'm not going to say if at all, but I don't know how much allegiance Mike Vrabel truly feels toward Malik, since one, wasn't his guy in the first place, and two, Malik Willis didn't do anything in the regular season to command, another look or another year or more attention.
Man.
And yes, it was totally general manager malpractice that the Titans didn't find a better backup option and force Malik out on the field before he was ready.
Mm-hmm.
That was on the Titans. That's not Malik's fault. But the fact remains that Malik doesn't look like an NFL quarterback at this point. He doesn't even look like a backup at this point. But I do think that the Tannehill conversation is interesting.
It is.
Because if I'm Ryan Tannehill, now my head is on a swivel. Now I am on full notice. Something that Derek has said so many times, if the Titans draft a quarterback, this could be Ryan Tannehill's best season.
Ooh,
and
that,
he might be
feeling
it. He might be feeling the heat on his seat now that the Titans have picked up Will Levis. And Will Levis is a guy that I view, he could play right away. You could sit him.
And Derek makes a good point about, you know, this could be Ryan Tannehill's best year, and I'm going to tell you why. Because you want to definitely be in the field. I remember when they drafted Kevin Dyson, who's a good friend of mine, and they brought Yazzie Thigpen in. I was livid. I felt disrespected. I felt like, man, you know, I made the all-rookie team. And this is my younger days when I was just ignorant and just full of pride. But I feel like you're bringing two guys in to replace me. Mm-hmm. So now you got Ryan Tannehill feeling the same way. You drafted a quarterback that's trying to replace me. And that's a great observation of what both of you guys said, that he's going to have his best year because he's going to do everything right, from reading defenses to making plays to leading in the right way, because he said, how dare you try to come in and take my spot?
And it's not necessarily because he believes that, well, if I do well, that the Tennessee Titans will keep me. They're not. This is your last year regardless. But what it does is set you up for the next team.
Yeah.
I always look at Alex Smith. When they drafted Patrick Mahomes, I remember being on his air 5-6 years ago saying, mark my words, Alex Smith will have the best year of his career.
And he had
the best year of his career. Why? It wasn't because he thought, okay, if I'm great, they're going to keep me.
Right.
He knew they wasn't keeping him. But he was auditioning for other teams. He wanted to make sure that whatever he did that season opened up more teams for him to potentially go to. And he landed with a big contract with the Washington Commanders.
Yep.
Unfortunately for him, he took a devastating hit to his leg. Ooh, oh, my goodness.
That was bad.
And basically ended his career. He
almost
came back.
His life.
Yeah. He came back, but he still wasn't the same guy. The same guy. So I expect that from Ryan Tannehill, if indeed he is starter day one. I believe he will have the best season he's had since he's been the Tennessee Titans.
Because I think this will be a job interview for Ryan.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Tannehill's going to be a pro about it. You know, when I came in with Steve Menear and Chandler, they didn't like each other. I mean, they did not like each other. But I think with Tannehill and Will Levis, I think that the pro that Tannehill is, he's going to help him out. He's going to, you know, encourage him. But at the end of the day, he has an attitude. He's going to have a chip on his shoulder to say, how dare you try to take my position? Not in a negative way, not in a, and it's me against you. It's going to show the Titans that I am the guy for the job now. It might not be next year. It might not be years after that. But now I'm the guy to take us to the promised land.
I have another question about the Titans' future. But before we do that, we'll take a quick pause. It is draft night in Nashville, night two. Caroline Fenton, Chris Sanders, Derek Mason. We're out at the Inglewood Wingstop, 3300 Gallatin Pike. First 100 people here will get a coupon for 5 free boneless wings for their next visit. Draft night in Nashville is brought to you by the Nashville Sheriff, the Davidson County Sheriff's Office is hiring correctional officers. So call 615-862-8170. Also brought to you by D&M Development, featuring the New Cumberland with views of downtown and the Cumberland River. TheNewCumberland.com. The second round has officially concluded. Third round.
Come on, Titans, trade up.
Hendon Hooker has officially slipped
to the
third round.
Probably because of his injury. And I hate the excuse where people say, oh, he's 26. Yeah, he's old, but he's still a playmaker.
Hey, 26 isn't old.
Nah, 26 isn't old.
I'm 51. I'll be 51.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, I'm 49, so 26 is a young.
I got
spring chicken.
I got to use that just for men. That's how I'm getting old. I'm just kidding.
We're officially headed into the third round.
Man.
Titans trade up in the second round, number 33 overall. Take Will Levis, their quarterback of the future, who honestly I view as a quarterback consolation prize. C.J. Stroud is the guy that they wanted all along. They couldn't get C.J. Stroud because they've got loose lips, and the Houston Texans took him at 2 overall, then taking Will Anderson at 3. Titans take Peter Skoronski, the offensive lineman out of Northwestern, with the 11th overall pick, and then Will Levis in the second round. We're now heading into the third round, but the future for Tannehill is now in question, now that the Titans have drafted Will Levis. When does the clock start on Mike Vrabel?
About losing his job?
About not necessarily losing his job, but when we're going to have to take a look, a closer look at Mike Vrabel and his future with the Tennessee Titans.
I think it's this year. I mean, he's really going to get evaluated because some of the decisions that he made, a lot of it's been pushed on a lot of other people, but I think some of it, you know, aligns with him. So he's going to be evaluated. Everything he does, especially with the quarterback situation, how he evaluates the team, everything that he does, he's going to definitely get evaluated.
I think as soon as Will Levis becomes the starter, that's when the clock starts.
Ooh, that's, yeah.
I honestly, I thought, and again, we're not calling for him to be fired.
Exactly.
No,
yes.
No.
But
this is, it's NFL, not for long, for players and for coaches too.
He's this tenure is starting to get long. Mm-hmm. He's just finished up what 5 years.
Dang, it's been 5 years.
It's going on six.
I think the
clock started when John Robinson got fired.
Yeah,
I think that's when the clock started for him. Now, these picks that are being made this year, and more importantly, that pick in the second round with the quarterback. Once he becomes the quarterback, then I think the pressure's on for not to win the division, because the division is going to be hard to win now. I don't care what nobody – I think the Titans are going to be a winning team this season, but even having a winning record may not get you into the playoffs. But I think Jacksonville is a little bit ahead of them because they have their quarterback moving forward, and they're building around their quarterback. If this team isn't in a position to where they are making improvements during the season, and they're not, and they're if they're closer to Jacksonville than not, then okay, we can roll. But if they start to fall further and further back,
that's it.
Because right now, Jacksonville is the gold standard. Because why? They won a division last year, and they have their quarterback.
When Jacksonville becomes the gold standard,
that's crazy.
But what I mean
what
is
a scary time.
What I mean is this: they are the cream of the crop in the division right now. They won a division, and they are only getting better. They got a receiver that many have totally forgotten about.
Calvin Ridley.
He was a 1,300-yard receiver before he sort of went into this. He got injured, then the mental situation he was going through, and then he gets suspended for a full season. This was a 1,300-yard receiver in Atlanta. He's going to be the same thing in Jacksonville. They found their number one receiver to go along with the other guys that they already have at the skill position. This is a team that is going to be very explosive from the offensive side of the ball. They got a good defense, and they're getting better. That's why I say now Jacksonville is the team that you're chasing. Everybody's chasing Jacksonville. And I'm not saying Jacksonville's like the greatest team in the world. But because they won a division and you see the trajectory of Jacksonville, they are the head dog right now.
And that's the thing with Jacksonville, with Houston. They've been bad long enough now it's a cycle.
You're
bad long enough. You have top five
just
picks
like the
long
Titans.
Enough.
They were bad for a long time.
And then they became the upper echelon of the division. It comes time when you're bad long enough and you have smart enough people in charge to get your quarterback of the future, and you're lucky enough to be bad enough the year before there's a Trevor Lawrence in the draft, and you get Trayvon Walker, and you have Josh Allen, and you continue to put pieces around those pieces. That's when teams start to ascend. And if the Titans start to become that team that's not winning the division every single year, and Will Levis is your quarterback of the future, and he is the guy that's supposed to get you back to winning the division every single year and competing with the Burrows and Allens and Mahomes, your seat's getting hotter and hotter, Mike, and there's no longer a John Robinson there to take the fall.
And I think, too, it's all going to come down to those first couple of games. And the reason why I say that is because they have a bad taste in their mouth, and the fans have a bad taste in their mouth. When you lose seven games in a row, and all of a sudden you lose the first, the second, and the third one, that seat is going to start to be cooking. I'm telling you, because the fans are going to get a bad taste in their mouth. They're going to go back to they're going to start pointing fingers. They're going to go back to the 11th pick of the draft, but getting Skaronski. Did I say it right?
Skaronski.
They're going to go back to that pick and say, why would you take a guard at that position when you could have got a quarterback like Stroud or whoever to be in that third position? So everybody's gonna go back to that, because you lost seven games in a row and you're consistently losing. That's going to be the key.
And you have the 11th overall pick.
And you get a what?
And you took a guard.
He could end up being an all-pro guard.
He could be Bruce Matthews.
Yeah, could be
Bruce. For all I know. If you take him 11 overall, he better be.
He could be Munch. You know,
Benji Olsen.
You never know. If he's any one of those guys, then you got your guy for the next 10 years.
Benji Olsen was Olsen was good, man.
Maybe so. I just view it, you know, when you're the future of your franchise – and your livelihood, your job as Mike Vrabel is on the line, and Will Levis is in control of that future.
Yeah. You don't like him, do you? Because he went to Kentucky and Kentucky competed with LSU, right?
I have no beef with Kentucky.
Did Kentucky beat LSU?
Did they beat him?
I don't know. 2 years ago.
That's why you don't like them.
I have a problem with the interception.
The truth comes out.
They beat LSU when LSU was horrendous. It was before Coach O got fired.
Yeah.
So LSU was horrendous. Kentucky was a really good team that year. They were a good team.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I have no problem with Will Levis the person. I think the mirror selfies could probably get taken down or not. But, I mean, it's the interceptions and the decision-making and the fact that one of the few things that Mike Vrabel values in a quarterback is not turning over the football. And that was Will Levis's number one problem.
Yeah.
And the one thing that stopped the Titans from potentially competing in an AFC championship was turnovers against the Cincinnati Bengals. And that was Will Levis's problem in college. That's what I have a problem with.
And in this league, you can't have turnovers. And I'm going to give you a perfect example. Last year when the Tennessee Titans played the Cincinnati Bengals, what cost them the game? Three interceptions to where you had home field advantage the whole time. But three turnovers cost you from going to the next round of playoffs. That just shows you how imperative it is that you got to protect the football. You got Will Levis that's coming here that threw 23 interceptions in two seasons. And if you don't protect the football, it can be a long season for the Titans.
So a couple weeks ago, D-Mace, Willie, and I did a mystery quarterback exercise.
I
presented what some of the, you know, draft gurus, analysts, former coaches, former GMs, agents said about each of these quarterbacks. Okay. Positives for Will Levis. He outworks everyone. Okay. He's a natural leader. He's impressive physicality. Lightning quick release.
Whoa.
Cool under pressure.
Cool.
Football is the most important thing to him. High pain tolerance, tough, functional runner, physical. That sounds like all things that Mike Vrabel would probably value.
That's a Vrabel guy.
Total Vrabel guy. Cons. Average instincts. Average decision making. Predetermines throws. The first interception that Ryan Tannehill threw against the Cincinnati Bengals, his eyes went right to Julio Jones. He knew where that ball was going, and the defense could read it like a book. Holds on to the ball too long. He's going to take unnecessary hits. He's going to throw unnecessary picks. Dreadful rushing numbers. Of all of his passes of 21 or more yards, it had the highest interception rate of any quarterback in this year's draft. 12.2% of his passes of 21 or more got intercepted. He is under no pressure. Pocket presence, no pressure whatsoever. Highest interception percentage of any quarterback in this year's draft at 3.6%. So he's got the things that you can't coach.
Yep.
Size, arm strength, love of the game, desire to be there, hard worker. How much can you work on the decision-making and the accuracy?
I think the one thing that concerns me is the predetermined throws. Mm-hmm. I mean, because if the thing about it is if you're staring down a receiver – The safeties are smart. They're going to make you think something's there that's not there. They're going to disguise the coverage. And if you have your mind made up and you're staring down a receiver, they're going to eat that up alive. Mm-hmm. So the thing of it is, just like what Derek Mason was talking about, Charles London, he's going to have to make sure his skill set, his decision-making, his throws are going to have to be on time, because at this level, they're going to disguise coverage. They're going to make different things, make you think that something's there. They're going to make two safety look, one safety high. They're going to disguise all these things. They're going to send blitzes. You got to, you know the front of where the protection, set the protection of where the blitz is coming from. All these things that you have to know. And if you don't have your decision made at the line of scrimmage, then that's when those interceptions come.
It's a little concerning.
Yeah.
We will recap the second round and preview what's going on in the third round coming up next. It is draft night in Nashville, night two. We're live out here at the Inglewood Wingstop, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Phil, night two. We're out here at the Inglewood Wingstop. First 100 people to come by the Inglewood Wingstop will get a coupon for a free 5 free boneless wings for their next visit. Draft Night in Nashville is brought to you by D&M Development, featuring the New Cumberland with views of downtown and the Cumberland River. TheNewCumberland.com. Let's go to the draft board, fueled by Parman Energy. Visit ParmanEnergy.com, your one-stop petroleum solution. So going to Mel Kiper's best available, Hendon Hooker still sits atop that list. Hendon Hooker was projected to be a late first-round, high second-round guy. The need and the demand for quarterbacks kind of bumped him up in some mock drafts into the mid to high first round. Was it Mike Tannenbaum that had him going number 5 overall to Seattle?
Yeah, pretty much so.
I don't know what was in Mike
Tannenbaum's
cup.
That's why Mike Tannenbaum doesn't have a job as a GM.
That's why Mike Tannenbaum's on ESPN.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what's wild is none of the receivers from Tennessee has gone.
Yeah.
I think
that's surprising.
The fact that Hendon Hooker, Cedric Tillman, and Jalen Hyatt are still on the board.
Is it the system?
The system. I don't think these coaches and general managers like the system. Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports was on Robbie and Rexford a couple weeks ago, and he said that. He said, I've talked to so many scouts and GMs that they said, we hate that system. We hate it because it's so hard to get a good read for really what these guys can do.
Because it's more of, is it more of the scheme or is it more they don't – of the technique. I don't really know what they run, so
it's a spread offense.
Oh, so they're going okay. I know
very
I know.
Quick. I mean, they've got guys lining up at the numbers.
See that, and so it's not more of a technique; it's more of a scheme thing.
It's a scheme thing.
Okay,
and with it's so much of the scheme. The whole point is to get your receivers wide open, and they'll use like three receiver stacks.
Yeah, yep. Three by one. Yeah,
and so
what happened? What happened?
And the Hooker may be off the board now.
What the,
to the Lions.
Detroit. Ooh, is that a feeling or is that some
maybe
insight?
Maybe taking Hendon Hooker at the 68th pick. Their pick is in.
Why do you think Hendon Hooker?
I'm looking at it right here.
Derek Mason. Derek Mason.
This dude, this guy, he's a guy.
The tipping of picks.
No, I didn't mean to look at it.
No, that's okay.
Yeah, I was just scrolling through, and I'm like.
But
last night,
the Titans pick was in, and then they went to break. Before they even went to commercial, I saw on Twitter that they were taking Peter.
Skaronski.
There you go, Chris.
There you go, Chris.
There
you got
go.
It.
Bingo.
I'm not saying PT anymore.
Why?
Petit Ferrer.
I like PT.
Come on, you got to keep on saying PT, man.
We
come
call
on.
Him PT almost exclusively now.
Hey, because Jerry said it yesterday. Man, I'm the worst with names. What's your name again?
Christina.
No, I'm just kidding.
Hendon Hooker could potentially be
awesome.
Off the board here to the Detroit Lions. The Detroit Lions, I think, the big old loser of the first round, taking a running back number 12 overall.
Who's that, Gibbs?
Jameer Gibbs.
No, he's a dog. That's a good
pick. At 12?
Yes.
You think?
Yes.
Okay.
He is a dog.
I'm not saying he's not a good player.
He's a faster McCaffrey.
I'm not saying he's not a good player.
Yeah.
Running back at 12 when they just.
They got some other cats here. I know what you mean.
He's not a bad player. Just the pick was a little bit confusing to me.
Did he go to LSU?
He went to Alabama.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
He went to Alabama. If you went to LSU, my tune might be just a little bit different.
Man.
Mel Kiper's top available players, Hendon Hooker up at the top. Darnell Washington, the tight end out of Georgia. I'm surprised that he's still on the board. Jalen Hyatt, wide receiver out of Tennessee. Keely Ringo, corner out of Georgia, who I think we saw as kind of a second or third round guy. And the defensive lineman out of Tamuiwa, out of Bawore. Out of Northwestern. Those are the top five available on Mel Kiper's big board. But the Titans trade up to 33 overall and take Will Levis. As I'm trying to find somewhere to plug my computer charger in. The Titans take Will Levis, number 33 overall.
No.
And another reason why, thank you, Chris. And D-Mace, you think that he could potentially be a starter this year, correct?
Will Levis.
Yeah.
I'm good. I do believe if he figures it out quickly, I think he can be.
Chris.
I don't think the learning curve is as steep for Will Levis because he's coming from a system. He's going into a system that he knows. Now, there may be some different terminologies and wording or something like that, but essentially he's coming from a system. He's going to a system he knows. So he should be able to pick up on that very quickly. So I could potentially see him if he shows any progress, I can see him being a day one starter. Mm. Is it likely? No, but I could see it. I wouldn't be surprised if it happened.
The only reason why I would say maybe not, if Will Levis goes down with injury, Malik is your starter yet again. The Lions are up at the podium with
That's
a 68th good. Overall pick.
That's good,
and they
man.
Take Hendon Hooker, uh-huh. quarterback out of Tennessee, round 3, 68th overall.
That's awesome, man.
Your thoughts?
I think it's a good pick for the Lions. He doesn't have to play. They got Jared Goff. Mm-hmm. So he can sit a year and, you know, and learn that system. They have receivers there with the Lions. They got a running back. They just drafted another running back. They're building their defense up. Mm-hmm. So this is a good move. This is a good place for him to land with the Detroit Lions.
You know, I love his accuracy. I mean, if you look at what he did this past year, I mean, he had, what, I think it was 31 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. It just shows you that his decision-making – is outstanding. And also, he's a tough kid, born leader of man, just consistently make plays. So I really, really like the pick.
And I do like Detroit's young core of receivers. Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jameson Williams, good. Of course, he's suspended for the first 6 games of the season. But Hendon Hooker isn't going to be playing in the first 6 games of the season anyway. So I do think that, you know, whenever they do eventually move on to Hendon Hooker being the starter, he's got a good group of wide receivers. And now he's got a running back,
yeah.
Jahmyr Gibbs.
See, come on. Come
so
on.
He's
yeah.
got that cast of offensive players around him. Ooh. I love Hendon Hooker. I love his attitude. I think that he is so incredibly smart. And although it will be a knock on him in the system in which he played in Tennessee, he still had to execute
right.
it.
Exactly.
And that system looked very different with Joe Milton as the starter in the beginning yeah. of 2021 than it did with Hendon Hooker. Because with Joe Milton as the starter, Tennessee was losing games to Pitt. With Hendon Hooker as the starter, they were the number one team in the nation for a week. So I think that there is a good bit of truth to that. I don't know what Hendon Hooker's ceiling is uh-huh. going to be. Mm-hmm. I think if he has a Kirk Cousins-esque career, that would be incredibly successful for Hendon Hooker.
Exactly. Especially a third-round pick. You know, that's like saying if Will Levis has – if he turns out to be Ryan Tannehill, 25 yeah. and 10 or 26 and 11 – then okay, you know yeah. what you got. You got you a good quarterback, but you need to surround him yep. with players.
Right.
But he is your guy. Same with Hendon Hooker. If he turns out to be, you know, a 20-something and, you know, 10 guy or somewhere around there, then you have your guy.
Yeah.
And you got him in the third round.
Yep. Yeah. That's exactly what I was going to say. He got him in the third round. So even if he doesn't pan out, it doesn't really hurt your team. But, man, I really like this pick. And the reason why I like this pick is what he does in the pocket. And he's so poised.
He's calm.
He's so poised. I mean, he's so calm. It's kind of like he's just sitting there chilling, eating a sandwich, and just, you know, going through his progression.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have a quarterback like that that's poised, that's accurate, that's tough, that makes great decisions, you got a recipe for you have a situation that will set you up to be successful later on in years to years.
You know what hurts me a little bit?
What's that?
Hendon Hooker. A guy who was in conversation for the Heisman, who led Tennessee to beating Alabama.
Did they beat LSU?
I don't remember. it slipped my mind. They got him in the third round when the Titans got Malik Willis, and Malik Willis might not even be a backup in this year's draft. And the Houston Texans have selected.
Oh, that is huge. No,
Tank Dell, wide receiver out of Houston.
That's
one of your guys.
I like Tank Dell.
Yes,
he
sir.
Is a touchdown maker.
Yes,
touchdown
he is.
Generator. The kid is. This kid's good. Maybe
yep.
it's the dude has. Maybe it could be because he's only 5'8", but the kid has top end speed.
Yep.
When you're talking about a guy that can just flat out go, he can't. And he's as quick as a tick.
Yeah.
That's him.
Yep. And you know, D-Mace, he's not even that big, but the thing about it is he can play inside and outside.
Yeah, because he has
the speed to do it.
That you can put him outside. And he
– What is going
he's,
on?
He's a good player. He's a good player. And if you use him right, he can be a dynamic player in your offense. He replaces Brandon Cook for
yep.
them. He's their deep threat guy. He's the guy that can line up in a slot, get a mismatch, hit him quick, and let him run with the ball.
And they needed receivers desperately.
Exactly.
What is going on with the with the Tennessee receivers?
Tank Dell, and no disrespect whatsoever to Tank Dell, going ahead of both of them,
that's what I'm saying,
is a bit of a surprise to me. I do think it could possibly be the system. Cedric Tillman did have an ankle injury this past season.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know if that's enough to turn general managers away from him. The Raiders pick is in the 70th overall pick. But the Texans needed wide receiver help desperately. I want to say Robert Woods was the only recognizable name that I saw on the Houston Texans depth chart. And as we have learned, that's probably not the best option for your wide receiver core. The Raiders pick is in.
They need to come on.
And according to Mel Kiper's board, the best available players now that Hendon Hooker is off the board, Darnell Washington, Jalen Hyatt, Keely Ringo, Trenton Simpson, the inside linebacker out of Clemson, and the Ohio State tackle, Dewan Jones. And the Raiders need defensive help. Desperately, they need some defensive help. Their defense was absolutely atrocious this past season.
But you know the Raiders will do something crazy. They get a quarterback.
The Raiders always do something crazy.
Or a kicker.
They're a guard.
A guard.
I'm kidding. No guard slander around here.
She's crying.
Here's the Raiders pick.
NFL draft. The Las Vegas Raiders select Byron Young, defensive tackle, Alabama.
Okay. All right. I like Byron Young. Maybe a little slight.
Yeah.
A little slight frame.
Yeah.
Solid defensive tackle out of Alabama.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? Anybody from Alabama is going to be tough. And then they're going to be ball players, and they're going to be tackling these sounds. So I think this is a good play. He uses his hands well, and he sheds blockers. So I just think that's a great pick for them.
Yeah, solid pick for Vegas, taking Byron Young, the defensive tackle out of Alabama. Hendon Hooker, Tennessee quarterback, off the board to the Detroit Lions. The biggest news of the day, the Tennessee Titans taking Will Levis, 33rd overall. But the Titans will be on the clock in 10 picks. Mm. New Orleans Saints are on the board, number 71. I mean, the Titans taking a quarterback with Will Levis now eliminates the biggest question that would be surrounding this franchise. Basically, the biggest cloud over this franchise is, who is your quarterback of the future? Yeah. That question is at least answered. Whether you like the answer or not, that is now the answer. Will Levis is your quarterback of the future. But this team still has a whole bunch of holes that they need to fill. Receiver, tight end, corners, potentially an edge rusher.
Yep.
And that'll be available to them in just about 10 picks. I think they've got to go wide receiver with this 81st overall
pick.
Yeah, they
do got to go wide receiver. But also, you still need some offensive line depth.
Okay, so if we got 10 picks before the Titans pick, unless they trade up and get someone. I can't see them trading.
They don't need to trade up.
No. Yeah.
No more of that.
If Jalen Hyatt or Cedric
Tillman.
I was thinking of Cedric Wilson, the old Tennessee receiver.
Oh, you remember?
Yes, Cedric Tillman.
Like somebody's
granddad.
Do you
think they take him?
Maybe. If that's the best receivers available on their board, or really the best player available on their board, because at some point you need to start drafting for need.
Yeah.
At some point you need to start building up this receiver core, because it is in desperate need of some speed and desperate need of just some bodies. The Saints take Condre Miller, the running back out of TCU. That is their Alvin Kamara of the future. Yeah. So, I mean, at some point you're going to have to take a receiver or receivers.
Yeah, there's a couple. I mean, I like the kid from UNC, Josh Dobbs, but also TD loves this guy, Tyler Scott from Cincinnati. He talks about a speed guy, ran track. So, you know, he's got to improve on his route running. But if you want to get a guy that can stretch the field, take the top off the defense, I think Tyler Scott's your guy from Cincinnati.
Josh Downs from UNC also available now. Mm-hmm. Of course, we've got 10 picks until 81 until the Tennessee Titans take again. Josh Downs was one of your guys, D-Maze, that you liked.
Yes, I like Josh Downs out of Carolina. The kid's good, quick, fast. Really good hands. He's more so of an inside guy, but he plays a little bit bigger than what he actually is. He's aggressive. I think he has dog in him. Mm-hmm. Not many receivers have that, and you can't teach that. So, you know, if that's a guy that's on the board, do they take him? You don't know. Does he serve the purpose? He's not an outside guy.
Mm-hmm.
But he does have the speed that you need. So do you Do you value the speed? Do you value speed and height, or do you just value speed? Which one do you value? If you value speed and height, then Josh is not your guy.
And I was listening to Chad Withrow with Jared earlier on my way over here at the Inglewood Wingstop. Come hang out with us. And he said, you know, I'm not a fan, especially in the first round, but in any premier pick, which I would say is rounds 1 through 3, of drafting guys that can play outside. And he was talking about the offensive line, but guys that can play tackle, guys that can play guard, guys that can play center. In the NFL, you need guys in their designated spaces. If you are very similar to the wide receiver position, but if you can find some of those guys that can play on the outside, that can play slot, that are very versatile plug-and-play receivers, those guys are wonderful. Everybody needs their Nick Westbrook Akines. Yeah. You know, your guys that you can plug in wherever. But when you're in desperate need of a legitimate number two, you need to be drafting that guy for a specific spot. And if that's the slot, great. Then you have a spot in mind. You have a designated space in mind. Finding versatile players is incredibly important. Every team needs those. But you also need your guys that are just, that's where they go. They're a slot receiver. They're a left tackle. That's their job.
Yeah, I can't see the Titans. I think they're still in, because you got Kyle Phillips there. And Kyle Phillips did show some promise. He gets injured, and he just wasn't the same player last year. I think a fully healthy Phillips comes in as your slot guy. With the receiver position is different because I think the great receivers in today's game, you have to be versatile because the offenses are versatile. They're interchangeable. One minute you may be outside. One minute in this package you may be inside. I maybe have to motion you to a stack. You have to be able to, at least I believe, if you want to be on the field a lot, you have to know all positions as a quarterback. You got and as a receiver, you got to know the X. You got to know the Z. In some systems, it's the H. In some, it's the F. Mm-hmm. It just depends. That slot guy. I was always taught, listen, here's the playbook. And I remember Les Steckel telling me this. Learn all these positions. Yep. And I'm thinking, like, as a rookie, like, how in the hell am I going to do this? I'm like, I got to learn this position. But he was saying no, because I want to be able to put you – anywhere on the field, and it's only going to help you. And he was exactly right. So to me, these guys coming in now, yes, you may be a Jamar Chase is an outside guy, but he has the ability to come inside if need be. Cooper Kupp is an inside guy, but he has some ability to play the outside. They don't like putting him out there, but they can if they need to.
That's it. His bread and butter is the inside.
Yes.
Jamar Chase, he can play inside.
Yep. But his
bread and
butter
he's more beneficial
outside,
to
absolutely.
You on the outside.
So you have to be versatile.
Yes.
Yeah.
But at least finding a guy that has their niche. And they can do other things if you need him to. But that guy, like man on the outside or man on the inside, he is absolutely unstoppable. The Arizona Cardinals, 72nd overall, take Garrett Williams, the corner out of Syracuse. Has Arizona taken a wide receiver yet?
No.
No.
I don't believe that they have.
I don't think D-Hop is going anywhere.
Monty Austin-Fort last night. You know, Monty Austin-Fort, a product of the Tennessee Titans.
Austin-Fort.
He was asked last night about DeAndre Hopkins, if they intend on trading him. He said, I do not foresee that happening.
Oh, that's that word again.
That's that word. Taking a little page out of John Robinson's playbook there, AC.
Which means if you come with a good deal, hey, you can have him.
If you come with a good deal and we're not willing to pay him what he wants, then I do foresee trading him. But if we don't trade him, then I told you.
I didn't foresee it. Exactly.
I didn't foresee that happening.
I think the Titans need a 1,000-yard receiver. I mean, I think they're due for it. I mean, I think the last two players – to have 1,000 yards on the same team was Derek Mason and Drew Bennett. So I think somebody needs to come in and help Treylon Burks, because if you look at the list, Treylon Burks had 444 yards. You had Kyle Phillips that had 8 catches for 78, and you have Racy McMath that had 2 for 40. That's not going to scare anybody.
No.
You got to bring somebody in there that complements Treylon Burks, because the verdict is still out on Treylon Burks. What can he do?
The Giants have selected Jalen Hyatt.
Oh, did they?
Okay. Yeah. The Giants take Jalen Hyatt, wide receiver from Tennessee. The second Vol in the third round behind Hendon Hooker, the Detroit Lions, third one overall after Darnell Wright got taken in the first round.
But you know who's going to get a receiver? I think the Colts are going to get a receiver if Cedric Tillman's there. And they have.
Well, the Giants needed receivers. They need some who speed they, on the outside.
I forgot who they got. See, look at the press. No, he's in the slot.
Yes, he's off.
See, he's off. Yeah, he's off.
He just runs scot-free.
Oh, I'm coming out of retirement for that. Come on, man. You just ran.
He's not pressed at
no,
all.
Not at all.
There was look wide open. Wide
but it's
open.
Off coverage.
Wide open. That's going to be a learning curve for Jalin Hyatt. Is he's going to have to make contested catches.
Yes.
And he's going to have to put up some of those 50-50 balls. And I'm not saying he can't do it. I'm just saying he's never had to do it. And I've never seen him have to do it. So that's going to be a tricky learning curve.
But what they're going to do if he struggles with the press early, what they're going to have to do is make him be the Z receiver. The Z receiver is off the ball and goes in motion a lot. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have to make sure that they do that if he struggles early with getting off the press.
Yeah. I do love Brian Gable.
I saw when I first came in. And I finally realized, you know, because we did it in college, mm-hmm. but I didn't think too much about it in college. But then getting in the NFL, I'm like, man, why they put me on the ball all the time? It ain't like I'm 6'2", 6'3". Let me move. I want to move and go in motion and do all this other stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, that came years later. Yeah. But as a rookie, you're thinking like, man, why can't I go in motion?
Hey, I was the ex-receiver. I ain't going nowhere.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. We were lockstep right there. Couldn't go nowhere.
And then back in the day, they could jam you to choke you.
They can grab you and do whatever they want to.
You remember Hastings from Kansas City Chiefs?
Yeah, exactly.
He almost had me in the stands. Seriously. I mean, he's like, I went to go order something at the concession stand. He's like, well, order two. He was right there. He was right there with me.
Popcorn, large Coke.
Man, can I get one of those pretzel rolls? Yeah.
Cedric Tillman
now off
so
the
what
board.
What do you do?
This kind of reminds me of round one. Once that first receiver went off the board, was it Zay Flowers, number one off the board, the wide receiver?
Yes.
I'll have to go double check. Once he went off the board, then there was a run on receivers. It was Jackson Smith and Jigba, 20 to Seattle. Quentin Johnston, 21 to Los Angeles, the Chargers. 22, Baltimore Ravens took Zay Flowers. 23, the Vikings took Jordan Addison. So four receivers, boom, 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 right off the clock. We're seeing something very similar here in the third round. Jalin Hyatt and Cedric Tillman each taken back-to-back. Tennessee Titans need a receiver. They need a pass catcher.
That was a good pick for Cleveland Browns. Again, he's a guy that you could put inside, outside. He's a big physical guy. He goes up and for contested catches. He's more so NFL ready than his counterpart, Jalin Hyatt. Not to say that Jalin Hyatt will not be productive in the NFL, because I think he will if he works hard at it. But I just think if you're asking two guys to say, okay, I want y'all to be the starters, well, I'm picking Cedric Tillman before I pick Jalin Hyatt. I think Tillman is more ready to start if he needs to.
D-Maze and Chris's War Room is brought to you by Parman Tractor and Equipment, providing totally outrageous customer service. Visit ParmanTractor.com. So I am a take the best available player kind of person.
Okay.
That is my draft philosophy. But there comes a certain point in time where you need to take positions of need, especially with the Tennessee Titans and the way that the roster is constructed and how they have so few pass catchers at their disposal. I view this third round pick for the Tennessee Titans, it needs to be a pass catcher.
But the only cat that's really available that you can really get is Parker Washington from Penn State.
Josh Downs is available. Yeah, and, Atlanta is on the clock for the 75th overall pick. The Tennessee Titans do not pick until 81. So a lot of this can change until the Titans pick at 81. Darnell Washington, the tight end of Georgia, is still available. And I don't know what Darnell Washington's strengths are. Is he more of a blocking tight end, which, you know, might be right up Mike Vrabel's alley. Is he more of a blocking tight end? Is he a pass-catching tight end? Can he do both?
Could you imagine being 6'7", 200-something pounds running like that? I mean, they may use him in like a 12 personnel, like one back and two tight ends and two wide receivers. So they may lose him in that package, but as in running routes and spreading him out like a Delanie Walker, I don't think that's going to happen. You're going to leave him in block and be that physical presence when they're running the ball with Derrick Henry. But just imagine
him. That frame?
Yeah, big old dude, and Derrick Henry running behind him. Mm-hmm. I think that can be good if that's what you're looking for.
And we know if there's one thing that Mike Vrabel loves, it's a blocking tight end. It's a blocking wide receiver.
Oh, my goodness.
And Darnell Washington at that size absolutely can be that. But who is catching the football? Treylon Burks and Chigakonkwo right now are your only pass catchers, viable pass catchers. I'm not putting my faith into Kyle Phillips and Racy McMathen. No disrespect to those two, but they're two unproven receivers that are coming off of injuries. Game one, if your wide receiver core that goes out there is Kyle Phillips, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, and Treylon Burks. Treylon Burks is getting double and triple teamed, and you've got no options. They need pass catchers. And so that could be, you know, Tucker Kraft, the tight end of the South Dakota State.
Uh-huh.
That could be Josh Downs, the wide receiver out of North Carolina. But other than that, there's a pretty steep drop-off, at least according to Mel Kiper's best available, until Tyler Scott, the wide receiver out of Cincinnati.
That's right. I forgot about him, yes.
Yeah, he's still on the board as well.
He's a burner, but what if somebody like the Colts get him? But somebody like Green Bay or somebody like that gets it.
And at this point, I think you're looking at teams that are weighing both best player available, also with positions of need, especially teams that may have, you know, traded up, given away some of those mid-round picks, or taken a quarterback in the first round, and they're looking for pieces around him. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back coming up next, reacting to all the action in round three. It is draft night in Nashville. We're live at the Inglewood Wingstop, 3300 Gallatin Pike. 1025, 1063, the game. It is draft night in Nashville, draft night two. Caroline Fenton, Chris Mason, Derek Mason. We are.
Chris Mason.
Chris Sanders.
Hey, Chris.
Hey,
what's going on? C-Mace, what's happening, man?
It's been a long day. I know, Chris. Derek Sanders, Chris
Derek
Mason. We're out here at the Inglewood Wingstop. Come hang out with us, the first
Josh
100
Downs.
People.
Wow.
Oh, Josh Downs taken to Indianapolis. Man, two of the Titans guys, Josh Downs and Anthony Richardson, to Indianapolis. That was one of those guys that you pointed out for the Titans to potentially target in the second or third round, D-Mace. But there was one guy that you were talking about at the break that should be highlighted for the Tennessee Titans with the 81st overall pick.
Yes, and that's A.T. Perry out of Wake Forest. Big receiver, fast. He's 6'4". He ran a 4.4 at the combine. Good hands. He had over 81 catches last year, double-digit touchdowns, 1,000 yards. Ooh. I think this is a guy that you can bring along very slowly in your offense. He can work his way up to the number two guy. This team is going to be running a football a lot anyway. Mm-hmm. So you play action pass, and he's a big receiver that can get in the middle of the field along with Treylon Burks.
And
yeah, I like Tyler Scott.
Tyler Scott's still on the board.
TD loves him. TD absolutely loves him. I know he's still a little raw, but he's a guy that can stretch the field because he's a track guy.
The Steelers are now on the clock with the 80th overall pick, and then the Tennessee Titans will make their third round selection. And we will go to the draft board fueled by Parman Energy. Oh. Visit ParmanEnergy.com, your one-stop petroleum solution. Darnell Washington is now the top player available, according to Mel Kiper's big board. Now that Hendon Hooker is off the board, he went to the Detroit Lions. Jalen Hyatt is off the board. He went to Cleveland, correct?
Cleveland Browns.
And where did Cedric Tillman go? The
Giants.
Cedric Tillman went to the New York Giants. Uh-huh. Thank you very much.
Oh, there's been a trade.
Ooh, Carolina trades up to 80 with the Steelers.
Where'd they go? Where'd we go? 80.
We're still at 81.
Oh, okay. I'm about to say what?
Titans are still at 81. Carolina trades up to 80th overall.
Well, what if they take a receiver?
They could take a receiver.
Tyler Scott. If they take Tyler Scott, I'm just going to pack up and I'm leaving.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah.
We'll miss you, though. You go ahead and do your thing, Chris Mason. I'm so sorry.
You know it's late.
Oh, yeah.
You asked me about a certain receiver at the break. Kayshon Booty at LSU.
Uh-huh.
And y'all know I love my LSU Tigers.
Yes, you
sure
do.
You do.
Not someone that I would take in the third round. Not someone I would take in the fourth round.
Don't tell the listeners why, though.
I'm not going to say why.
Is he a draftable guy?
Yeah.
He's not a Vrabel guy. I will put it that way. He is not a Vrabel guy. And I'm sure there are plenty of guys on this board that are not Vrabel guys or are Vrabel guys. And I know that we use that term so much.
But he's definitely not
Vrabel guy. Okay. When you talk about guys that put the team before anything else, that, you know, no one player is bigger than the team, that they love ball. That's not what Kayshon Booty's actions have at least shown us. And we have several texts in the text line saying, you know, who cares if he's a variable guy or not? Just take good players.
Well, if he's not a guy that Vrabel and Rand Carthon believes fits this team, you don't take him. Regardless if he's a good guy, a good player or not, you just don't take him.
I think the perfect example of that is Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers is one of the best quarterbacks in the league. He was back-to-back MVP in 2020 and 2021. Yeah. But Aaron Rodgers would have been an absolute dumpster fire within this organization. Yeah. He is me. When he is the player that is bigger than the organization. And there are some organizations that are willing to look past that. The New York Jets were willing to do just that. The way that the Titans are run, the way that the Patriots are run, it doesn't fit. That kind of locker room does not work with a guy like that. So that's why it's important. Locker room culture, as silly as it might sound, important.
It's very important. I mean, it really is.
Carolina's pick is in, 80th overall. Now, this is the last pick before the Titans pick at 81. Best player available now is Darnell Washington, big old tight end out of Georgia. Carolina could continue to collect options and weapons for Bryce Young since they traded DJ Moore to the Chicago Bears. See what they go here. Here was the Panthers selection.
Carolina Panthers. With the 80th pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the Carolina Panthers select DJ Johnson, linebacker, Oregon.
All right, so Carolina takes D.J. Johnson, the edge rusher out of Oregon. Now the Tennessee Titans are on the clock. Titans take Peter Skoronski, number 11 overall, the offensive lineman out of Northwestern. They trade up in the second round, 33. They take Will Levis. That is their quarterback of the future. I hate drafting for need, but they got a whole lot of needs that they need to fill. They need a tight end or receiver with this pick. They need pass catchers.
I think one guy that they can really target is Tyler Scott. I mean, from Cincinnati. TD loves him. I love him. Not a great route runner yet, but he's fast and he can take the top off the defense. And don't be surprised if the Tennessee Titans go with another offensive line. A guy named Blake Freeland from BYU. You got Carter Warren from Pitt. And you got Matthew Bergeson's gone, I think. But those two guys you could probably get.
Tennessee Titans are now on the clock.
What you think?
I don't know. I really don't. I'll run with you, Chris. I'll say Tyler Scott. At some point, they're going to have to address the receiver need.
Those are one of the guys that they talked to at the combine.
Yeah, they did. And I know that you can find quality players in any round of the draft. A certain Derek Mason was found in the fourth round. Turned out to be a pretty good pick. I know that you can find very quality players from round 1 through 7. And players from rounds 1 through 7 can end up being not very good players for your organization. But there is a good bit of truth to the fact that the lower you go down in the draft, at least, you know, the perception is the quality of players starts to decrease. And you need certified starting wide receivers. Wide receiver number 2 for the Tennessee Titans. The pick is in for the Tennessee Titans, 81st pick overall. Last minute projections. I say Tyler Scott.
I say offensive line.
Oh, man. My dark horse pick is Perry, the receiver out of Wake Forest.
Ooh, okay.
Offensive line guy, yep.
We shall see.
Not at Downs is gone.
Downs is off the board. Both Tennessee receivers are off the board, Tillman and Hyatt. The best available receiver, according to Mel Kiper, is now Tyler Scott. Chris Sanders' guy, Charlie Jones, another receiver out of Purdue, also on the board as well for the Tennessee Titans.
They're going to do something. I don't know what's going to happen.
Darnell Washington.
If they get him.
The board.
Ooh.
They could address the cornerback position.
That is a position of need.
Oh, yeah.
Keely Ringo there. Riley Moss out of Iowa is there. Riley Moss is a dude. I covered that Iowa-Kentucky Music City Bowl. Uh-huh. Riley Moss was like a sticky corner. Anywhere those receivers went, he was right on them.
No, that's
McCourty.
McCourty.
All right, the Titans are now on the clock. We will go to Jason McCourty, who is now at the podium announcing the Titans' 81st overall pick.
I have to say congratulations to the Kansas City Chiefs. I saw Mahomes and Kelsey out here. I've had some fond memories here. I remember being at Arrowhead Stadium in 2018 when we won the AFC Championship game, and we went to the Super Bowl, and Patrick Mahomes was one trophy short. Yes, I said it, I'm sorry. But now it's all about the Tennessee Titans, and we are the real team where the Houston Oilers started. You see me rocking it. Tennessee, the home of the best barbecue in the nation. Did I say something? No, not true. No, I take it back. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't mean to offend anybody. But for the Titans, the division is ours. I don't care what Houston did yesterday. They're going to go get their Letterman jackets again. The Indianapolis Colts are 2-6 against the Titans since Pat McAfee came up here and did his wrestling announcement. And the Jacksonville Jaguars, they haven't had back-to-back winning seasons since I was a senior in high school. But now,
this is what happens, Tennessee Titans.
In the 2023 NFL Draft, the Tennessee Titans select Tajay Spears.
Oh, he's good.
Oh.
A running back.
A running back.
Okay.
Okay.
What are you going to do with Haskins?
Okay.
This one right here.
Tajay Spears is a dude.
He's wearing 22. What is that telling you? Is he going?
Oh, gosh.
It tells you he wore 22 in college and he ain't going to be wearing it in the NFL.
He's going to be 23 with the Tennessee Titans.
But
22 is taken.
You got Tyler Scott there.
Now it's about the best available player. They're not necessarily going for need because
they're not excited.
This is not a need pick.
Did you say they're not excited?
No. No.
Okay. Not the position I expected. But if that was their best player on the board, then so be it. This is a team that wants to run the football.
If you're Will Levis, oh my bad, D.
No, go ahead.
If you're Will Levis and you look in that receiver room, are you excited?
No.
No, you're not.
I'm Caroline and I look in that receiver room and I'm not excited.
Everybody wanna talk, man.
It's
fire those cannons.
It's a team that wants to run the football. Mm. I don't know how long the Tennessee Titans view Derrick Henry as the future. Derrick Henry's not going to be running back for the next 3 to 5 years.
But I thought Haskins was going to be the next guy.
You could have two. Interesting. You still have nobody to throw the football to.
No.
The Tennessee Titans step away from the first three rounds with Peter Skoronski, an offensive guard, Will Levis in the second round. And now, I don't even know what it is. Tajay Spears, running back out of Tulane. We will react to the Tennessee Titans haul in the first three rounds coming up next. It is draft night in Nashville, night 2, 1025, 1063, the game. Tennessee Titans step away from the first three rounds, taking Peter Skoronski 11 overall, trading up to number 33 overall, taking Will Levis, and then now taking Tajay Spears, the running back out of Tulane. Overall, thoughts, takeaways from the first three rounds.
I believe they in the first round, obviously player of need, but probably was the best player on their board at that particular time. So they got better. Then you draft Will Levis, who you probably had ranked as a second rounder anyway. You move up and you get him. Mm-hmm. So you crossed off another need. I don't understand this one, the running back. one at third round. I get he's a good player and maybe best player on the board. Take him. I get it. But your running back room isn't in dire need.
Yeah.
He can be a transition player. He can be a guy that, you know, may get some snaps in the backfield, but he's – you're putting him out, catching the football out wide. He's your sort of, you know, interchangeable running back. But, again, this wasn't a dire need. If you just look at their team, running back isn't a position you thought in the first three rounds they would pick. But, again, they picked it, and, again, it could have just been best player available.
And Tajay Spears might be the next Derrick Henry.
But,
you know,
yeah.
I don't want to pass up on a guy like that just because it's not necessarily a position of need.
But here's the thing that concerns me. He has hamstring issues.
Does he?
Yes. He has hamstring issues. So if you're a running back, you're that explosive, and you look at the Tennessee Titans, you know, guys are consistently getting hurt, and it's always a hamstring. So if you're coming here with a hamstring, you're already in a disadvantage because you have a hamstring soft tissue issue.
And that was something that we talked about a lot with Jackson Smith and Jigba, with the Titans potentially taking him in the first round. Mm-hmm. He's a hell of a player. But you cannot, Mike Vrabel, get up at the podium and call out Christian Fulton and David Long Jr. by name because of their hamstrings. And then move on from David Long Jr. in free agency because of the injuries. And then go on and draft a guy that has hamstring issues. Now, and maybe it's a totally different story because Jackson Smith and Jigba, he missed an entire season with a hamstring injury. Maybe it was something that he's dealt with in the past. You know, he had a knee injury in 2020, came back from that. But that's concerning. It is.
Yeah.
Your third round pick, that is still a premier pick. That is still a guy that you view can be a staple of your organization for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, well.
Interesting choice.
It's an interesting pick. I can't say, I mean, I'm not, I don't know if it was a good pick or a bad pick, but you're just looking at their needs.
Yeah.
And that wasn't a spot that I would pinpoint as a need for the Tennessee Titans. But he probably was the best player on the board for him.
And I cannot be mad at that.
Yeah.
If you're going by your board and you're taking the best player available,
then you take him.
I cannot be upset with that.
Yeah.
But I think the big story of the day, the big story of the Titans draft, trading up to 33, taking Will Levis, that is now your quarterback of the future. Mm-hmm. I'm skeptical of the move. I really am.
It's going to be really interesting because just like we talked about earlier in the show is, from day one, it's going to be a quarterback controversy. I mean, you can't avoid it because everybody in this town is ready to get rid of Tannehill. So if Tannehill does anything wrong, any bad pass, anything he does wrong, the fans are going to get upset and they're going to cry Will Levis, regardless if it's right or it's not right.
And it is hard for me, knowing that the Titans wanted to go in to the first round and take C.J. Stroud.
Mm-hmm.
They could have taken Will Levis at 11. They didn't. And there are second, third, fourth round picks.
Uh-huh.
Quarterbacks that have had success.
Yeah,
Jalen Hurts was a second round pick.
True.
Look at what he's become. Took his team to the Super Bowl this past year. Dak Prescott, fourth round pick. Now he hasn't gone to a Super Bowl, but he's had a successful starting career with the Dallas Cowboys. And then of course obviously Tom Brady. You know, big seventh overall pick. Drew Brees. Brock Purdy. I mean, yeah. We don't know what his career is going to turn out to be, but he looks pretty promising and Mr. Irrelevant. You don't need to be the first overall pick or even a first round pick in order to have a successful career in the NFL. But if the Titans are trying to find their quarterback of the future, it wasn't even their first option, which is a little bit concerning to me.
Yeah.
But now Tannehill's seat is hot.
Yes.
It's fish grease.
Oh, it's hot.
Before we go. Grades for the Tennessee Titans, and it's hard to do that. You can't really grade a draft until 3, 4, 5 years into the future until you start to see how those picks really turn out. But right now on draft night 2, your grades for the Tennessee Titans after the first 3 rounds.
You say overall?
First 3 rounds after.
Or individual grades.
No, I would say after the first 3 rounds. I would say it's a C.
Yep.
I mean, and now in maybe 2 years or down the line or a year down the line, it may change. But right now, for me, it's a C, a solid C.
I would go with a C+, and the reason why I go with a C+, is because the first round, you address the position that you needed. The offensive line was in disarray last year to give up 54 sacks. So you address something that you absolutely need. So that's why I give him a C+. But if they didn't get him in the first round and did something different, I think the grade would be a little lower.
I go C-minus. You addressed a position of need in the first round. I'm skeptical about it being a guy who's probably going to play guard at 11. That's a high pick for a guard.
Very high pick.
It was a position of need, but the Titans stepped away from the first round without their first option. That all automatically is considered a loss.
Exactly.
Until Peter Skronsky becomes an all-pro.
Yeah.
Then
yeah,
we can talk.
Reevaluate it then.
You got your quarterback of the future in Will Levis, but you passed on him the first go-around. But you got him. He's your quarterback of the future. Yeah. You got some pressure on Ryan Tannehill. You've answered that question. Now can Will Levis compete with C.J. Stroud, Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Aaron Rodgers, Anthony Richardson, Justin Herbert? We will see. It's a long list, and it's a very competitive
Lamar Jackson, finally.
Lamar Jackson, my goodness. Aaron Rodgers, finally, too. So is Will Levis going to be the guy that keeps you competitive with those teams? Yeah. I don't know the answer to that question. Mike Vrabel better hope so.
Yeah,
I think it'd make it right.
And then you step away with Tajay Spears in the third round, a running back out of Tulane. I'm confused about the pick. I don't hate it. He's a good player. Yeah,
we don't know much about him. I think that's why the pick is so interesting, is because we really don't know much about him. And then that's not a need pick. I mean, you got Derrick Henry, you got Haskins, you got guys like that. They're in the backfield. So where is he going to be at? Did they sign Hillard back yet?
No,
I don't think
so. Maybe that's why they got him. I don't know.
And he could be a special team.
He could be a special team.
He can be Vrabel loves him some special teams guys. But if he can, you know, if he can be a punt returner, kick returner, that's another guy
that's
in that rotation.
Yeah.
And if you're building the running back room for the future beyond Derrick Henry, I can live with that.
Yeah.
You gotta address wide receiver. In the fourth, well, I guess you don't have a fourth round pick. Got to address wide receiver.
Well, you
got to
address wide receivers.
Got to address wide receiver at some point. Titans step away from the first three rounds of the draft with an offensive lineman and Peter Skronsky out of Northwestern. Got Will Levis at 33 overall in the second round, a quarterback out of Kentucky, and now Tajay Spears, the running back out of Tulane. That is going to do it for us today. Draft night in Nashville, fueled by Parman Energy. Visit ParmanEnergy.com, your one-stop petroleum solution. Smoky Mountain Tops, your countertop pros. Visit SmokyMountainTops.com. BMBFlooringTN.com, brought to you by D&M Development, featuring the new Cumberland with views of downtown and the Cumberland River, thenewcumberland.com, and the Nashville Sheriff. The Davidson County Sheriff's Office is hiring correctional officers. Call 615-862-8170. Shout out to the Wingstop in Inglewood. Thank you for taking care of us. Come hang out with us for the rest of the night. For Derek Mason, Chris Sanders, I'm Caroline Fenton. Draft night 2 is a wrap.
Peace.
Yes, sir.